Anya sat intently, continuing to pluck away at the puzzle. Once it was big enough, Rue and Kelly began to help her as well, sorting pieces and beginning smaller sections that she clicked one by one into the biggest. The finished piece was nearly 3 feet long and three-dimensional. It forked like a plant in a few areas, but stayed central at its stalk. When Anya finally pieced the largest section together, she knew what the pieces made.
There must be some mistake. That isn't anything.
Actually, it is.
And what's that?
Anya touched the tallest piece, which featured a sort of cylindrical, tower-like object.
It's a map.
Impossible.
Not so. It's quite clever, actually. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. This is the spiral staircase we came down. The storeroom was atop it. There's an exit here, I would guess from the way it looks, but I doubt it's still functional. If I'm oriented right, this one probably came up right in Lulon City.
But Anya, we've never found evidence of a tunnel like that.
That's why I'm assuming that it's no longer functional.
Anya traced the linked bones the other way, pointing out the large assembly that had to be the chamber they'd found.
This represents the staircase we followed to come up here, with another exit also blocked. And this is the hallway that led us to this room.
Rue leaned in closer, tapping at a line of bones that led from the room on the opposite wall. The bones spiraled around, then led to a line that curved around and went to the bigger of the two spaces in the large chamber.
If that's right, then what's this?
That's another hidden door.
Anya pushed herself up, put her computer away, and shrugged into her backpack. Excitement buzzed through her and wouldn't be denied despite the fact that they were in hostile surroundings. Crossing to the back of the room, she felt along the wall. Rue and Kelly joined her, shining their flashlights alongside hers.
If you look at the bone assembly, you can see that this passageway doesn't lead out, Anya. According to this map, it only leads into the center of that big building. This is a wondrous discovery. But we need a way to escape, and soon.
We do have a way. We can go back out the way we came in.
But Anya, Guy will surely have posted guards. That's not to mention that we'd have to get through the large chamber unseen.
Guy isn't after us. He wants what's in the building out there. If he gets it, perhaps he'll leave.
And perhaps he'll take time to kill witnesses.
Either way, it's in our best interest to cut down the odds some. You keep the others safe here, Professor. Rue and I will...
That I'm not going to be left out of this. Guy had my father killed.
Right. The three of us will do what we can to eliminate some of the risk.
Anya grabbed the flare gun and extra flares from the emergency kit. Rue and Kelly had the only firearms, but Anya preferred her sword anyway. If anything, it would give her the advantage if things got up close and personal.
I found the release!
Rue pressed against a spot on the wall, sending one section sliding up towards the ceiling. The new gap opened to a small corridor beyond.
Stay here, Professor. Keep an eye on the others until we come for you. Or until you know we won't be coming.
Good luck, Anya.
Stepping into the darkness, Anya carried her flashlight in her left hand. With her right, she reached into the otherware and pulled out the sword. Reflected light gleamed along the blade.
You've really got to show me how you do that.
Anya smiled thinly and pushed on. Embers from the impurities in the iron flew in all directions as Garin cut through the spears, the metal glowing red hot. He wore welder's goggles to protect his eyes and heavy gloves to protect his hands, but the embers burned his face and forearms. His clothing smoldered, and he frequently had to stop cutting long enough to put out the biting fires. Severing the fourth spear, he judged that there was finally enough room to get through. If he was able, the other men definitely could as well. He tossed the torch aside, removed the goggles and the gloves, then waited.
I want my vision somewhere near normal before I proceed.
Taking a pistol in hand, Garin eased through the opening between the bars, finally reaching the edge of the floor section that had twisted. Using his flashlight, he peered down into the dark depths. The two men Guy had sent on ahead lay impaled by 4-foot-high iron stakes more than 20 feet below. Sha Wu Ying most definitely had a fixation on piercing unsuspecting people with sharp objects.
I need some support up here if we're going to get through.
Two of Guy's clearly uneasy men squeezed through the gap in the spears, inching to his side. Together, the three of them righted the tilted corridor section and locked it back in place. Garin also found a lever inset in the wall that locked the spikes into place, so the floor would remain in position. Any satisfaction Garin felt evaporated at once when he saw light shining through the cracks around the door. He didn't know how, but he was certain Rue and Anya had beaten them to the inside of the room. Despite the desperate nature of their circumstances, Anya couldn't help grinning as she played the flashlight around the big room they'd entered by way of the secret passageway. The architecture caught her eye and made her curious about why it was made that way and how it could have possibly been built so long before. What truly amazed her, however, were the room's massive stacks of gold and gems that filled virtually all of its shelves and floor space. Beautiful tapestries hung on the walls. Casks held what Anya believed was probably oil and myrrh. A king's ransom occupied the room, leaving only a small space for the statue of a man in the center of the room. The figure stretched from the floor to the ceiling, at least 20 feet. Made of stone, it had been meticulously carved into the likeness of a grim warrior dressed in Chinese leather armor. His face was hard and unforgiving. His right hand rested on the hilt of a curved, cruel sword. A fierce mustache covered his upper lip.
Is that Shao Wu Ying?
Perhaps. After all this time, it's impossible to say. So I doubt a man like him developed much of a fascination with someone other than himself.
Anya stepped over the mummified remains of a man clad in leather armor, much like that of the statue. Along with all the treasure, there were several other dead men in the room. Rue kicked one of the mummified bodies.
I'd feel better if I saw Shao Wu Ying's body here somewhere.
You don't think he survived?
He couldn't have.
Because nobody lives 2,000 years?
Because even if he did, he wouldn't have left all this behind.
Rue scooped up a fistful of gold coins, letting them trickle through his fingers.
What are you looking for?
Rue tucked the hunting rifle under his arm for a moment and held his hands about a foot apart.
A jade figurine about this tall. It's an ogre with a man's body and the head of a baboon.
Something as unique as that shouldn't be hard to find.
As she walked through the piles of wealth, Anya couldn't help wondering what Rue wanted with the statue. He'd talked about it being powerful and dangerous. Regardless of its value, her primary concern was that sooner or later, Garin and Guy would arrive. She joined Kelly at the shelves. The two women shined their flashlights along the loot piled on the shelves, searching for the figurine.
My father also told me about this place. He didn't have many stories about it, but he'd tell them over and over. I never believed they were real.
Your father gave you the bag of bones?
Yes.
Did he ever tell you their secret?
No, that's why I made a sphere of them. It was all I knew how to do.
Shao Wu Ying had fallen out of favor with Emperor Qin. He decided to assassinate the Emperor and become ruler himself. The problem was, there were a lot of ambitious men around Emperor Qin. And Shao Wu Ying had a young monk in his League of Assassins who couldn't bear the thought of all the deaths Shao Wu Ying intended on his way to power. The monk decided he would bring a sickness back to the City of Thieves and spread it among the assassins and kill them all. He died, either of the sickness or for his betrayal. Before he did, though, he left behind a child's toy that mapped the underground city.
That's the puzzle?
I think so.
My father said it had been in our family for generations. So the monk was my ancestor?
He had to have been.
What about the fox spirit? The one that was said to be the curse hanging over the belt plaque?
Your ancestor's daughter was trained in martial arts. Maybe she came out here seeking vengeance against the thieves and used the superstitions to be more fearsome. Maybe she knew how the puzzle worked, but she couldn't find the city. Maybe something happened to her before she was able to pass the secret of the sphere to her own child. Perhaps she felt the gold was tainted, not something that should be kept. We may never know.
K Kelly looked around the room, examining what seemed like a sea of dead warriors.
One of these men could be my ancestor.
Possibly.
If we can, I'd like to find his body and bring him home to a better resting place. My father would have liked that.
Anya wanted to help, but seriously doubted that would be possible. They had to make their escape before their ancestors had to come looking for them. They continued their search frantically. There was so much treasure that Anya couldn't even process it anymore. Nearly everything in the treasure room spoke volumes of history, untold stories that might never be revealed.
Anya Creed. Long time no see.
Garin Braden strolled into the room, surrounded by Gai Quan Yin and his remaining warriors. The man's face was split from ear to ear with a massive grin. Anya couldn't tell whether it was because of them or the loot. His face was highlighted by the beams of the flashlights that danced around him. He raised the AK-74 in his arms.
You know, I'd really prefer not to have to hurt you. I'd rather you just...